Why live a normal life when you could be living the abundant life? Welcome to the Abundant Life Program with Ashley and Carly Terades.
Hello and welcome to Abundant Life. My name is Ashley Terades and this is my great wife Carly, and we're here in the lounge. We're glad you've joined us today. I've got a few things I want to tell you about before we get started. We've got a great program lined up for you today. You know, do you know your real enemy? That's what we're going to be looking at today. Kai's going to be teaching on knowing the real enemy, knowing your real enemy and how to overcome him, praise God. But first of all, I want to tell you about our website. It's terradesministries.com. And if you go there today, we will give you this confession card. This is a card on scriptures of who you are in Christ. This is a powerful card. You write your name at the top and then you can confess these scriptures. It's all the most powerful scriptures on what you have in Christ and who you are in Christ. You'll love this card. It will really help your relationship with God. So go to our website today to get this free of charge. It's terradesministries.com. That's terradesministries.com. We'd love you to go and get your copy of that. Praise the Lord. So Carly, who's our enemy and how do we overcome him?
Well, I think there are some people that think they have lots of enemies in their life, right? And some of those look like our spouse.
Uh-oh.
And some of those might look like our employer or people in our workplace, or ex-friends, or people that have hurt us, or people accumulate, you know? Right. It's amazing how we can go through life and accumulate enemies. Sometimes those enemies might take more carnal forms even, like finances. Maybe our bank balance is a monster and it just needs to get under control. Mm. Maybe our enemy is our own flesh, our body that just won't line up and won't agree with us, won't do what we want it to do. But let's look at this. This is in Ephesians 6, I'm going to start in verse 10. It says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." He's a wily one.
Wily one.
Like Wily Coyote, right? He's a wily one. He's a slippery one. "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood." Funny enough, it's not your spouse. That's the problem. Okay? "But against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand." And it goes through on different ways to put on the armor of God there. But you know, sometimes our enemy doesn't always appear in a form that we recognize. I'm thinking about this once. Hannah woke us up in the middle of the night. I don't know if you remember this story, okay?
Oh, yeah.
But sometimes things are not as you seem. And, you know, when kids wake you up in the middle of the night, it's usually around 1 o'clock when you're in the deep sleep.
Right.
You know, when you're deep down in the sleep there.
Two o'clock.
Yeah, like the early hours, right? Yeah. When you're really enjoying a nice sleep.
And usually I pretend to still be asleep and let you go.
Yeah, thanks. Anyway, she woke us up. And she was, screaming, like that piercing screaming noise. And I rush into her bedroom as she's like, you know, dead to the world. And go in there and she's sitting bolt upright in the bed. And as I've got to get to just pick, I mean, she's probably about 3 years old, I guess. Got to scoop her up in my arms and pick her up. But as I get near her, she starts to recoil. Her eyes are big like saucers. She looks at me and she starts to really shriek even louder. It's almost like she was sleepwalking kind of thing, you know.
Was she like running away from you? I remember like she was trying to get away from you.
But she was kind of lurching backwards. Right. And I'm like, what is going on there? And, you know, we just knew at Bible college at the time. We'd been there about, I don't know, 2-3 months. So we just knew enough to be dangerous. But here's the thing. If you don't have the whole picture, sometimes your mind's going to take you places and you're going to miss the point. Right, it's going to lead you in a direction you don't want to go. So as I'm leaning towards her, she's pulling back, she's recoiling, and she's shrieking. I'm like, "Lord, what is going on?" You know, being a woman of faith and power, I decided maybe I should pray. Genius moment. I'm binding, I'm loosing, I'm casting out devils, because obviously in my brain I'm thinking she's got a demon. This is a demon, obviously manifesting, right? Just enough to be dangerous. That's where our knowledge was at. And nothing was happening. I was getting zero results. So in the end, I'm like, "Jesus, Holy Spirit, help me. What is going on there? Brilliant idea. Pray about that." And the Lord's like, "Take off your jacket."
Oh, you had it was your robe, wasn't it? Was it a dressing gown?
Yeah, take it. It had like a furry collar on it.
Furry collar on your robe. It depends on what country people are watching.
It was cold in England, okay?
Is it a robe or a dressing? We say dressing gown in England. A dressing gown. But in America, I think they say robe. Night robe.
Anyway, it had a furry collar. A little trim on it there.
I remember.
And so I'm like, that can't be the Lord. That can't be the Lord speaking to me. That's just such a weird thing to say. Take off your jacket. I'm like, can you not see I've got a problem here, Jesus? You know, my three-year-old is distraught. She's clearly demon-possessed. And, you know, I need your help to get rid of this problem, to solve this problem. And all you can talk to me about is undressing. That's ridiculous. He's like, again, take off your robe. In the end, oh, goodness, took off my robe. And I went to hug Hannah, and she settled down. And you know what happened? I realized that earlier that day, we were walking along the pavement there, the sidewalk, and in the gutter was a squashed squirrel.
Dead squirrel. That squirrel was an ex-squirrel.
It had ceased to be. It was nasty.
He'd met his maker.
He'd gone to be with squirrel the other
heaven.
Squirrels in
he'd
heaven.
To squirrel heaven.
He did. But Hannah had seen this as she's walking along, and she got really upset. And, you know, I'd explained where the squirrel was now with Jesus, and we're all fine. But obviously this was playing on her mind as she went to bed. And so, you know, she's dreaming about flattened squirrels in her bed there, you know, sleeping away, dreaming about flattened squirrels. I walk in with a dead squirrel, or what looked like a dead squirrel to Hannah, wrapped around my neck.
The fur.
I was just trying to cast out the spirit of squirrel, was what I was doing, right? So sometimes there is a different answer. Maybe, we need to hear the Holy Spirit a little bit to see who our real enemy was.
To get the full picture.
Yeah. Amen.
Good advice.
But here's the thing. It's really important that we tune in to what the Holy Spirit so we can hear that what really is going on and see the full picture. In 2 Corinthians 2, verse 14, it says that he always causes us to triumph.
Amen.
Jesus is the one that leads us to victory in every area. So, you know, when identifying our real enemy, let's spend a little bit more time in prayer, maybe, listening to the Holy Spirit, than just running ahead. Let's look at something here. In Matthew 21, we're gonna find out how to spot a fraud, all right? Because sometimes the enemy disguises himself a little bit, all right? Now, this is interesting. In verse 18, it says, now in the morning, as he returned to the city, he was hungry, talking about Jesus, and seeing a fig tree by the road, he came to it and he found nothing on it but leaves. And he said to that fig tree, let no fruit grow in you ever again. And immediately the fig tree withered. Yeah. And then, when the disciples saw it, they marveled, saying, how did the fig tree wither away so soon? And Jesus answered and said to them, assuredly, I say to you, if you have faith and do not doubt, you will not only do what is done to the fig tree, but also, if you will say to this mountain, be removed and cast into the sea, it will be done. And whatever things you ask in prayer, believing, you will receive. In other words, you know, I've wondered about this. Why on earth was Jesus so bothered about a fig tree? What had the fig tree done to Jesus?
He was angry.
There you go.
He was hangry.
It was a harmless fig tree meeting a hangry man.
Hangry. Hungry and angry.
See?
Is it hungry and angry? He was hungry. He just hadn't eaten the day before.
There we go.
Remember, see? Jesus was 100% God, but he was also 100% man. So he was experiencing.
It must have been the 100% man part here.
Hunger, huh? Coming out. And there is times when men get hangry.
You know.
They get hungry and angry. So he was hungry and angry. And I believe that the fig tree, if it had leaves, it meant that it should have fruit, right? It only had leaves when it had fruit. Is that right?
It was a season. Yeah, it was a season for figs to be on the fig tree.
Mm.
But this fig tree wasn't bearing fruit. In other words, it was a fraud.
Mm.
And Jesus identified that it was a fraud, and he used this as a teaching point. And that's why he shows his disciples, it isn't really about the fig tree. This is how to deal with the fraud. You know, the enemy's a fraud. The enemy in our life has nothing, no power over us but deception. And so if we can learn to spot what really are his lies and his deceit, we'll be a lot better equipped because, you know what, he doesn't have any power.
So the only weapon the enemy really has against us is deception.
Right.
That's why when we know the truth will make us free, right? Because
exactly.
Once you know the truth, you can't be deceived.
Exactly. You can't be deceived. Do you remember that game we played with Hannah that one time in the car? Real or fake?
Real or fake, yeah. And, you know, I was asking Hannah, I was in the car, and I said to Hannah, you know, is this real or is this fake? And we were talking about different things. And I said to her, is the devil real or is the devil fake? And she thought about it. I think she was about 3 or 4 years old, maybe 4 years old. She was thinking about it. She was looking out the window. Well, this is going to be interesting, her answer. And she said, Daddy, the devil's real, but his weapons are fake. And I thought, man, she's got more revelation than most of the body of Christ. The devil's real, but his weapons are fake. You know what? All the devil's got on us is deception.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he hasn't got any power over us because Jesus has completely defeated the devil. Praise God. All he's got over us is deception. So if we can't be deceived, he can't get us.
Right. There's real strength in that. So, you know, in this, I want to focus here on verse 22. It says here, because he's showing them how to deal with a fake. Mm-hmm. You use your words. Mm-hmm. This is very significant. You speak to the mountain. You use your words to deal with a fake, a lie of the enemy. You have to, I think it's Isaiah 54:17, around about that, that says, no weapon formed against you shall prosper, and mm-hmm. every tongue that rises in judgment against you, you shall condemn.
Yeah.
When we see something of the enemy mm-hmm. that's coming against us, we need to use our words to condemn it, right? And he shows them how to do that. But verse 22, whatever things you ask in prayer believing, you will receive.
Yeah.
So if you study this out a little bit, this is even more fascinating than when you just read it at face value. But that word ask in there actually means to require or to commit unto in prayer. So we're not just asking like, oh Lord Jesus, please will you do something from us? You know, it's much more authoritative than that.
Mm.
You know, we are asking, it's almost it's a requirement.
It's putting a demand on his promises.
It's putting a demand. It's not being rude.
Right.
It's putting a demand on. You know, the Amen. Lord tells us to be bold as a lion.
Amen.
Right? Not meek as a kitten, bold as a lion. We can come boldly to the throne, and when it comes to the promises of God, we can come boldly and place a demand on those, not because we might or might not have them, but because they're ours and we're taking them back.
And because God said we can have them.
Because
once
he said
we can have them, then we can take them.
Right?
I was just thinking back when we were students at Caris Bible College and Andrew Womack was teaching, and he just bought a brand new Jeep Wrangler, and I like cars. Some people say I'm carnal.
Oh my goodness.
Another dad joke.
Another dad joke.
Carnal. But anyway, I like cars, and Andrew Womack had just bought a new Jeep Wrangler, and he was teaching, and he said, you know, he used this example. He said, mm-hmm. you know what, if I said to Ashley, he just picked on me, he said, if I said to Ashley, he could borrow my new Jeep Wrangler, and he pulled the keys out of his pocket. He said,
dangling them.
Dangling the keys. He said, Ashley wouldn't have to come to me and beg and plead, oh, please, Andrew, please can I borrow your Jeep? Please, oh, please, would you let me borrow my Jeep?
He's already said Andrew, you can have it.
Andrew, I've already told Ashley you can have it. He could just come up here and take the keys. So I got to thinking. And at the end of
the lesson, boldness came over me.
I thought, I'd like to drive Andrew's new Jeep. So at the end of the lesson, I went straight up to him. I was only a student. I went straight up to him and said, Andrew, I said, give me those keys.
You didn't even say please.
No, please or thank you. I said, give me those keys. He took the keys out of his pocket. He said, I knew you'd ask for them. He goes, there you go. He goes, now bring it back at noon. He goes, I need it at noon. So I went off driving. Just new Jeep Wrangler. It was great fun.
You're outrageous.
I was looking for like the Starbucks cups in there and the AC/DC music, but there was none of that.
None of that.
It made me think of that. Once God's told us we can have it, we can go and take
it's
it.
Ours,
we can
right?
take it. We can have them things because it's already provided for. We don't have to Amen. Ask or beg or plead.
That's right. And actually, when you look at the end of that verse, so we're reading here, and whatever things you ask in prayer, in other words, require, place a demand mm-hmm. on in prayer, believing you will receive. That word receive means to obtain, to take back, to seize violently. Seize violently, right?
Violent, take it back false, right?
Or to have returned to you what is already yours.
Ooh.
Think about that. You know, when Jesus died on the cross, he paid for our forgiveness of sins. He paid for our healing. He paid for our prosperity. He paid for our deliverance. Amen. So when we're going against the things of the enemy that are coming contrary to the word of God, we don't have to beg God and ask him to intervene. We're taking back the things the devil has stolen from us.
Amen.
Amen. In Matthew, it says, the violent take
Matthew
it by
11,
force.
Matthew 11, 12, yeah.
Right,
11,
the violent 12. Take it by force.
Yeah.
So we need to learn how to spot a fraud. And how do we learn how to spot a fraud? I'm thinking of your sister. Ashley's sister, when she was maybe 16, 17, she worked in a bank. She was a cashier in a bank. And she was telling me this story one day, and it fascinated me because in the banking system, there are frauds that come out all the time. Fraudulent notes, I mean, I'm thinking, how do you keep up with that? How do you learn to spot a fraudulent note? Because the criminals, you know, they get more and more clever
the
every time.
Counterfeits, yeah. There's always new counterfeits.
She said, well, you don't. You don't have. You couldn't possibly keep up with all of the counterfeit notes that come out. What they have us do is study the original. We study the original article, the genuine note.
So she used to study a real banknote mm-hmm. so much she could tell. By studying the real banknote, as soon as there was a fraudulent, counterfeit banknote, she could tell right away that's counterfeit because she knew the real thing so well.
Right. She'd been spending...
I used to tell her, could you bring some of your work home with you? But she never did.
So the more time we spend with Jesus and in the Word, the easier it will for us to be able to spot the move of the enemy in our life and to spot a fraud and take it and to stand against it. And it's so important that we do that. I remember one time we just moved a house into a new area. And in England, when you move house, you know, it's part of a national health service. And so you go and you do your, you have an assigned medical practitioner and you go to the doctor and they do the white, the new patient check. You know, you pee in a cup, you do all that kind of things. I'm sorry, was that too graphic?
Too graphic. Oh, okay. TMI.
All right. Anyway.
Edit that bit out.
Anyway. So they do your height and weight and your blood pressure and all those kinds of things. And the nurse came back to me and she said, you know what? You have sugar in your urine. Are you diabetic? And I'm like, no, I'm not diabetic. I'm perfectly fine. Do you have any symptoms? Are you thirsty? Are you tired? I'm like, well, I've got three young children. You know, of course I'm tired, right? I mean, that's just part of the job. Like, you know, I got to wait till they're 16 before I sleep through the night, right? So, you know, anyway, she's like, well, you know, we need to do further checks. And so she says, you need to do a fasting test. Fast overnight for 24 hours. First thing in the morning, come into the doctor's surgery. We'll do the little urine dip test again. So she did that the next day. And sure enough, again, there was sugar present in there. She said, okay, well, now you're going to have to do a fasting blood test. Mm. So you're going to have to go and you're going to have to get, you do the same thing again. You repeat the thing, but this time you have some blood drawn. Mm. Anyway, they did that and they came back and they got the results and the doctor comes in, he sees me, he says, well, I'm sorry to tell you, Mrs. Terrides, but you're diabetic. You're going to have to, this is what's going to be going forward from here. You're going to have insulin shots. You're going to have to measure your blood sugar for life, right? No one ever gets healed of diabetes. And I said to him, no, I don't. He said, yes, you do. I said, no, I don't. Well, this went backwards and forwards a few times. I said, look, I'm not collecting diseases. I'm done with that, okay? I do not have diabetes. This is a fraudulent report, and I'm not gonna accept it. I mean, something on the inside of me just rose up. Like, this was a lie of the enemy. I didn't have any symptoms. I was perfectly well. I mean, it just rose up on the inside of me like, I am not diabetic. I'm not sick.
You can't question a doctor. I mean,
they're like close to God.
The doctors just, even though they say they're practicing, they're just practicing, by the way, doctors. I love doctors. If you're a doctor, I love you. Praise God.
But you're like a guinea pig. They're just practicing on you.
So it's amazing how many people say, if the doctor says it, that's it, I've got to do it. The doctor says this, I've got to do it. And the doctors are sometimes just having a go. They're just prodding around to try and find something. They're not necessarily, haven't got it spot on every time.
Right.
They know they have to make adjustments. Sometimes they misdiagnose things. Mm-hmm. But when we hear it from a doctor, it's like, it must be the truth.
And that's because people place more value on the doctor's report than they do on the word of God.
Mm.
You know, and here's the thing. I'm reading in Isaiah 53 where it says, who has believed my report? To whom has the arm of the Lord been extended?
Mm.
You know, basically, I had a choice in that moment. Who was I going to believe? This was a word, this was a report that was rising against me in judgment, and I used my words to condemn it. Now, I didn't have any symptoms, but I wonder, if I had put faith in that report, I'm thinking I would be diabetic today.
Right.
You know, those symptoms, it was like opening a door to the enemy. You know, the floodgates would have opened and I would have had those symptoms occur in my body. It took about three more times. They repeated that blood test three times. And every time the doctor came back with a negative report. And in the end, he got so mad at me, he took me in his office and he slammed the door and he said to me, Carly, if you were my daughter, if you were my sister, if you were my wife, I'd be very concerned about you. You are a very sick young woman. And I said, I appreciate your report, but I'm going to get a second opinion. I said, I have a professional opinion that's different from yours. So I shook his hand and I said, I thank you very much, but I won't be needing your services anymore. And I closed the door and we parted ways. And here's the thing. I don't believe I've ever been diabetic. I think I had the opportunity to be. Right. I had the opportunity to entertain diabetes. But what the Holy Spirit helped me to see was this is a fraudulent report. This was maybe a truth, but it wasn't the truth. And so when we spend more time in the Word of God and dig deep in our relationship with God and we're listening to the Holy Spirit on the inside of us, it will give us boldness to spot the wiles of the enemy and stand against them with our words.
Amen. That's good. That's
awesome. So we just need to...
That was what, 10 years ago?
At least 10 years ago. Yeah, absolutely. And,
Amen.
God is no respecter of persons.
Amen.
Amen. What God has put on the inside of me, that boldness, he's put on the inside of every one of our viewers.
Amen. So that's, you may have had a report to say that you've got a disease or something. That may be a truth. So we're not diminishing that. In Carly's case, she probably wasn't even diabetic anyway. But maybe you have got a true medical report, if you like. That is a truth. But the truth is the word of God. It says you're healed and that the truth trumps a truth. Now, you have to believe it. You have to put it into practice and believe it. But you know what? We're not diminishing people's conditions here. We're not saying it's no big deal. It's a big deal for people if they have, especially diabetes, things like that. It's a big deal. But we're saying, you know what? There's the truth. Dr. Jesus trumps your family doctor. Dr. Jesus says you are healed. And if you believe it and put faith in it, then you can see that manifest, right?
Absolutely. And you know, this is what Jesus was doing here with this story of this fig tree. He was showing them their authority and exactly how to spot a fraud and how to use their words to overcome. And whatever things we ask for in prayer, whatever things we commit unto in prayer and require, believing you will receive. That means to obtain, to take back, to seize violently, and to have returned to you what is yours. You know, the enemy only comes to kill, steal, and destroy. That's John 10:10. But the thing is, the thief can only take what he knows is already yours. If a thief came to your house today, could he steal $1 million? Probably not. Why? Because you don't have $1 million in your house, most people, okay? Maybe one day, right? But he, so what he does is he comes to steal from you what you already have. He'll attack you in the areas of health. He'll attack you in the areas of your finances because those things already belong to you because of what Jesus has already paid for you. Those things are part of the atonement. He's going to attack you and in those areas because he knows that they already belong to you and he can only take what is already yours. So these are some of the wiles of the devil, and he's clever. Mm-hmm. If he can't get in the front door of your temple, he'll creep around the back and hope no one's watching. He's a slippery one. And the way that he does that usually is through our thought life first. Mm-hmm. That's where it becomes so important to take captive every thought and and just spend some time in prayer, right? Spend some time meditating on the Word of God. Spend time in the genuine article. Mm-hmm. Because when we're familiar with the genuine article, we'll be easily able to spot a fraud.
It talks about the devil disguising himself as an angel of light, right? So some things can even seem good on the outside. Mm-hmm. It can seem like a good thing. Like I'm just thinking like a distraction, like something, a job opportunity or a business opportunity. Or some a relationship. Mm-hmm. It could seem good on the outside, but it's just the devil trying to distract you and trying to get you off the Word of God.
Get you off track.
Basically, the devil's trying to get us off of the promises of God. He knows that you believing the promises of God are unstoppable. He knows that when you believe the promises of God, when you believe the Word of God, you, right now, when you believe the Word of God, you're unstoppable. I mean, you have God on your side. The Word of God in your mouth is so powerful and in your heart.
You become deadly.
You become deadly to the devil's kingdom. Mm-hmm. So he's just going to try and get you off the Word of God. Don't take it personally. It's just because you have the Word of God. It's a little bit like a footballer, you know, in American football. You know, the English people view it, and the Americans call it football. We call it, anyway. When he has the ball, the enemies are after him. The other team are after him. It's not personal. It's just they're trying to get the ball off of him.
Right.
When you've got the Word of God in your heart, when you're operating on the promises of God, the devil's coming after you to steal that promise out of your heart.
Steal the Word from you.
Steal the Word from you to get you off track of the Word. He doesn't mind it if you're just off here doing your own thing. But when you start believing the Word of God, when you start making a demand on the Word of God, like Carly's been talking about, when you start believing God for health and wellness and for prosperity, when you start seeing other people's lives change through your belief in the Word of God, the enemy's going to try and shut that down. But Don't let him shut that down. You know, stand up against it, as Carly's saying, and you can be victorious. Amen?
Amen. Actually, that's a great teaching on helping you stand against the wiles of the enemy.
This is Carly's teaching called Dress for Success. In fact, I teach a little bit on this as well. This is a course called Dress for Success. It's all about fashion, about your fashion tips.
No, it's not.
This is about the armor of God, Ephesians 6. The armor of God. And this will tell you how to defeat the devil. And there's some great lessons on here. There's a lesson on here about how to hear the voice of God clearly. It will teach you all about that. And I believe there's 9 lessons on here, CD. There's also a curriculum in here. This will really bless you. It's called Dress for Success. This will help you live the victorious Christian life in every area. Praise God. Very practical. You'll love that. That's available on our website, terrydesministries.com. Praise the Lord. And don't forget, if you go to our website, you can get Carly's confession card as well. TerryDesMinistries.com. That will really bless you. Amen.
You want to pray for the people?
Amen. I'd love to. Father God, I thank you for everyone watching and listening today. I thank you, Lord, that your report, the report, trumps any other report.
Amen.
And I thank you, Lord, as the enemy tries to come and steal the word from them, I thank you, Lord, you're giving them boldness, you're giving them the full armor of God, Lord, and you're making them victorious. I thank you, Lord, you always lead us to triumph through Christ Jesus. I thank you, Lord, every person listening, whatever their struggle, whether it's health struggle, financial struggle, relationship struggle, sound mind, whatever it is, I thank you, Lord, if they believe your word and put faith in your word, Lord, they will be victorious in Jesus' name. Amen. We agree with you today.
Amen. As Ashley was praying there, I just felt the Lord say that there are people that have been spoken almost a death sentence over, that there are generational things in your family that you feel you have no choice, but they're coming your way. There's Huntington's and Parkinson's and all different kinds of cancers that you feel like, well, you know, my great aunt died of that and my grandma died of that. And you know what God's saying? You don't have to believe in those things. You don't have to receive that. You are set free from those things right now. We just curse those words that have been spoken over you. Thank you, Jesus. We just curse cancer right now in the name of Jesus. And we tell all those tumorous cancer cells to leave your body right now, to shrivel up and die and go back to the pit where you came from. But praise Jesus, we speak life and health to every cell in your body in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Do you believe that? Praise God. Walk in it. Take a step of faith now and walk in it. Praise God. Amen. Isn't that powerful?
Amen.
Praise God. I'm pumped. So thanks for joining us today. We'll be back really soon. But until next time, you know what? Why just live the normal life when you can live the abundant life? We'll see you next time.
If you enjoyed this teaching, visit our website today to order the complete series, TerraDesMinistries.com.
Hey guys, I want to thank you for your partnership with TerraDes Ministries. You know, through your partnerships, we're able to make television programs. We're able to get the good news of the gospel, the grace of God, the love of God out there to people who may never hear it otherwise. We get to go on all different platforms. We also get to travel and to take this good news. We've gone to different continents, different countries, and we're able to spread the good news of God's goodness around the world, praise God. So we want to thank you for that.
Amen. Every time we go out and minister, you go with us. You're part of that, those testimonies. You're part of those miracles. You're reaching the world through your act of giving. Thank you.
If you have been blessed by this program, we invite you to donate and partner with TerraDes Ministries. Visit our website, TerraDesMinistries.com, and become a partner today. Coming up next on the Abundant Life program.
And this is one of those verses that it's always bothered me. So 1 Timothy 5:8 says, but if anyone does not provide for his own household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. The New King James Version says, if anyone does not provide for his own, especially his own household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. And I always used to say, how could you be worse than an unbeliever? You know, I don't understand that. That's always bothered me, that verse. And what I realized was, you know what I think what's going on here is grace Christians especially, people that believe in God's provision, they believe that God's already done it, which we believe too, they can get to the point where they believe God's their provider. You know, God is our provider, right? So God's our provider. We're His children. He's going to provide for our needs. Okay, we're going to look at some of that later on. That's great. But you know what? Some people actually shirk the responsibility of providing for their family.
Right.
So they get off balance and they end up saying, we know what God's going to provide.
But the scripture says, whatever you put your hand to prospers.
Right.
So surely you've got to put your hand to something.
That's right. You've got to put your hand to something.
Right.
And here's the thing is that what happens is you can get so far out of balance with this. I know fit young men who have got children who refuse to work. They say God's going to provide. So they basically what they're doing is they're actually putting the responsibility of provision on God.
Right.
And they're not putting their hand to anything.
Right.
And I realize this is what this verse is talking about. I believe Paul's talking about this. And he's saying, you know what? If you don't provide for your own faith, you're worse than an unbeliever. Because an unbeliever, a father who's an unbeliever, okay, he hasn't got God to say he's my provider. He can't pass that responsibility of providing for his children onto God. And I don't care what type of unbeliever he is. I don't care who he is, what he does, how, what good or bad person he is. If he's got children, there's something innate in him. There's something intuition in him that says he's got to provide for his children or she's got to provide for her children. It's just a maternal instinct, a paternal instinct.
Right.
So they'll provide for children. I've seen men that are complete, you know, non-Christians, heathens, but they will go and provide for their children. I mean, they'll even go and steal if they have to, but they'll provide for their household. They'll provide for their kids because there is no God above them. They don't believe there's a God above them to provide. Mm-hmm. So really, if you're a Christian and you're so far out of balance, you're like, you know what, God's going to provide for my household's needs. God's going to provide for my kids. That's worse than unbeliever because even an unbeliever wouldn't do that.